July 31st, 2016, again, our continuation in our lessons on worshiping God in holiness. We left off last week and got into some of the specific commands and examples given for us to worship and for our worship to be satisfactory unto God. You recall that we began the discussion of what day of the week we should assemble to worship, and we began to look at the Sabbath, understanding that there is a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of error that is taught concerning the day of the week, a lot of confusion about the Sabbath. Is it still to be observed today? Who it was intended for? What it was for? When did it cease? Has it ceased? Things that we need to understand if we're going to teach the truth. And of course, we're going to see that it is no longer in effect. And we'll go through that and we'll see exactly why that is. And then hopefully we'll get into the command for the Lord's Day today, and that being upon the first day of the week. But again, in order to teach truth, in order to be sound, we need to understand what the Sabbath was, who it was intended for, and why it has ceased. Again, you recall that we mentioned last week in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says God there created the world in 6 days, and all things ended on the seventh day He rested. When you look at Nehemiah chapter 9 real quick, again, a little bit of this will be reviewed. But the actual command to observe the Sabbath was not made known to the Israelites until it was revealed to them by Moses. When you look in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, "You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses your servant." When you look at Exodus chapter 16, we see the first mention of Sabbath. And again, a little bit, we mentioned this last week. Exodus 16 and verse 23. You recall here again that Israel was in the wilderness, being freed from Egyptian bondage on their way to Canaan. And here at Exodus 16, you see that God sent manna to feed them on their journey. Exodus 16, verse 15. "So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord commanded, let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent.' Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less." Drop down to verse 22. "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.'" So there was the first mention of the Sabbath rest. Israel was to gather this manna each morning, and of course on the sixth day they were to gather twice as much in preparation for this Sabbath rest, the Lord's Day, a day of rest. Notice verse 24. "And so they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath there will be none.' Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day." When you flip over to Exodus chapter 20, in verse 8, we note that the keeping of the Sabbath was given there as one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates." Now, as we said last week, from these two passages alone, if we stopped right there, we could clearly see who the Sabbath was intended for. Who was it intended for? For the Jews, for the children of Israel. There's no mention here of this being bound upon any Gentile. Let's keep that again in mind as we go through this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, let's begin in verse 12. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So we see the purpose here of it. They were to observe the Sabbath to remember that while they were in Egypt, they were in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. And there was no rest in Egypt for them. So as they remember the Sabbath day and kept it, they were to remember that God had let them out of Egypt. He had freed them from their bondage, and He had given them a rest. They were to observe this Sabbath as a sign between them and God, to remember what God had done for them, to remind them that they were God's own special people. Back at Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 and verse 13. It says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Again, we see here from this passage alone, who was the Sabbath for? If you look back at verse 13, it says, "Speak also to the children of Israel. Surely my Sabbath you shall keep." Who should keep it? It was the children of Israel. That's who it was intended for. Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel." It was a sign between God and His people of Israel, a covenant between them and God. Again, remembering what God had done for them. No reference here to the Gentiles. Any questions, comments?
You know, Acts 20 and verse 7, he said that on the first day of the week, the apostles came together to take the bread in the communion.
That's exactly
on
right.
On the first day of the week. And that means we should do the same thing. We do.
That's exactly right. Under the New Testament, under a new law.
That's exactly right.
We'll get into that in just a minute. Good point. Again, it was given for the Jews, and because it had been given to them, they were expected to follow it. And they were expected to follow all the laws concerning the Sabbath. And we'll go back and we'll look quickly this morning at some of those things that were expected of them, and notice the strictness of God's laws. And perhaps it can serve as a reminder today that while we know we're not under the old law, we're not under the law to keep the Sabbath, it's a reminder for us that God's laws need to be taken seriously. And under the New Testament law, as we'll see in a minute, we're given specific commands and examples that we need to heed. And the Old Testament needs to serve as a reminder of how serious God takes this, and the graveness and the penalty and the punishment that God's going to issue for those that refuse. But again, let's notice some of the things that they were to keep in keeping the Sabbath, what was involved there. Look at Exodus chapter 34. We know that they were to do no work. We'll look at a couple of verses on that. Exodus 34 and verse 21. For 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. At Exodus 23 and verse 12. Six days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. Again, the idea that they were to rest on this day. Of course, the example of the manna, they were together twice as much on the sixth day in preparation for the Sabbath that was to follow. Exodus 31 and verse 15. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Again, we notice the strictness of the law of God here. Whoever would work on this day shall be put to death. It was strict, and it was expected to be followed. It was expected to be taken very seriously, realizing the severe penalties for those who failed to observe it. Israel was to prepare no food. There was to be no gathering, no preparation, no baking, no boiling. When you look back at Exodus chapter 16, and verse 23, then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Again, there was to be no gathering. There was to be no preparation of food. On the sixth day, they were to gather again twice as much in preparation for that. Look at Exodus chapter 35. Understanding that there was no work to be done, it mentions here that there was to be no fire kindled. And we'll look at it in Numbers in just a moment. There was to be no gathering, even of kindling or of sticks. You look at Exodus chapter 35 and verse 1. It says, "Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and he said to them, 'These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout the dwelling on the Sabbath day.'" Flip over to Numbers chapter 15. Here we have an example of someone who went out to gather sticks on the Sabbath, and we see here the punishment that was inflicted on him because of his disregard. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. It says, "Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'This man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp.' So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with his stones. And he died." Again, the Sabbath and its laws were to be strictly observed, realizing that those who did not do that would face a very strict and a very severe punishment. Again, it needs to remind us today that while we're not under this old law, if we don't show up on Sunday, we're probably not going to be stoned to death. But we need to realize that we face a much more severe punishment than that if we fail to regard God's laws as holy. Under the New Testament, we understand there are certain things that we have to do, and failure to do that is going to result in an eternal punishment. It's going to result not in a physical death, but an eternal death. And we're going to face a much more severe punishment than what this man faced. Again, that ought to serve as a reminder to us. But again, you see these things that the children of Israel were to do, these things that they were not to do in regards to the keeping of the Sabbath. Back at Nehemiah, chapter 13. It says here they were not to buy or sell or trade. A reminder again that they were not to do any work. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 15. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was as at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. And I posted some of my servants at the gates, so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. Again, a reminder that no work, no buying, no selling was to be done on the Sabbath. When you look back at Exodus chapter 16, verse 29, we see that there was no travel. Travel was to be limited on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 16, verse 29 says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Again, this travel was to be limited. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Also understand on the Sabbath day there was to be a holy convocation. Sacrifices there were to be offered upon the Sabbath day. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Look over to Numbers real quick. Numbers chapter 28. Verse 9. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 9. It says, and on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs in their first year without blemish, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. Again, we have the sacrifices here that were to be offered every Sabbath day. So we see these things that were to be done. The strictness in which they were to be held, what was expected of them on the Sabbath. And clearly we understand that the Sabbath day was intended for the children of Israel. It was to be kept strictly. All the laws concerning it were to be kept. None were to be neglected. And again, we see the penalties for that. It needs to serve as a reminder for us today. Any questions or comments? It's interesting in the people that you might come across that still hold to the Sabbath, how many of them would actually do all the things that are required on the Sabbath? How many people that do you know that regard the Sabbath as something that is binding today, that would also keep these sacrifices, that would limit their travel, that would refuse to buy and sell, that would stay in their homes on the Sabbath? So we understand that we're not under this law, but it's interesting to note that those that think so, how many of them actually hold fast to those things that were required under that?
Brother, I don't know if the people that are serving under the law, as you said there, will be saved or not, because we're under a new covenant, and if we don't do it just like Jesus says to do it,
that's right,
how we'll make it.
It's kind of the thought when you look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Again, we're not going to be justified by the old law. We've been given something that is much more perfect. It's a new law. It's a better law. It's the law that Christ brought in when he came. And we understand that the Sabbath was a part of that old law, and it has now ceased. It is no longer in effect. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus said he came there to fulfill the old law. And as we discussed briefly in our first lesson back on week one, we must understand that when Christ came to earth and he was sacrificed upon the cross, that old law had passed away. It was fulfilled. It was done away with, and the new law was brought into effect. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. We understand this new law that Christ brought in was in effect then, and it continues to be in effect today. And it's going to continue to be in effect until Christ decides to come again. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, "In that he says a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." Look back at verse 6. It says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." Again, it's a new covenant. It's a better covenant. It's given with better promises. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And so we understand that Christ has indeed ushered in a new law, and that he has done away with the old. And we understand from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that under this new law, under this new covenant, under Christ, that he has been given all authority. And since he has been given all authority, we must practice all things that were commanded by Christ and all things that were commanded by his apostles as they received there the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. All these things in the New Testament are what we're under today. That's what's binding on us today. It's not the principles or but it's not the old law. That's not what we're under. Again, these commands that Jesus and his apostles gave do not tell us to keep the Sabbath. It's not given in the New Testament law. In other words, the people that do this and seek to bind that upon today are doing it without authority. We must have authority, again, for all things that we do. And again, we understand that authority belongs to Christ. People often talk about the Ten Commandments. We understand that many of those commandments, 9 out of 10, were restated in the New Testament. Do you know the one that was left out? It was the Sabbath. The fourth commandment was the one left out. I've got a chart that lists those. If anybody's interested, I can get you a copy of that. But again, we need to understand what law we're under. So in other words, when we choose to submit to Christ and his commandments, that means that we are also submitting to 9 out of these 10 commandments. And again, that exception being what? The Sabbath. Any questions?
I'd like to read you a couple of verses right here, 3 verses. This is the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is Paul talking. He said, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He says, now I pray you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and have kept the ordinance, as I have delivered them unto you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God."
Exactly right. That's who we're under today. That's who has the authority. And all that. Good point. Back at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Realize that the old law, again, with its sacrificing, with its festivals, with the Sabbath, were just a shadow of the things to come. That there were better things to come, better things, better promises. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. For let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Back at Hebrews chapter 8 real quick. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Again, the idea that the old law was just a shadow of things to come. And we understand that it is done away with, and the new law was established. You look at Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Paul says here that New Testament Christians are no longer under this old law. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Again, the idea that we are not under this old law, which we know included the keeping of the Sabbath. Now, the point we want to make here. For the Jews in Paul's day, as they became Christians, they died to the law. And they were under, again, this new law, which we are still under today, which we are still bound by today under the authority of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4. We understand that the Sabbath was given as a day of rest for Israel. And while we understand that we're not under that obligation to keep the Sabbath, we do know that as Christians today, that we also look forward to a rest. But it's not the rest of the Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, for there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from us. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Look at Revelation chapter 14. And understanding that as we labor, that our labor is not in vain, and that we also do have a rest to look forward to. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Again, we look forward to this rest, the rest that awaits us in heaven if we remain obedient to those things that God has commanded. And one of those things that we are commanded to do is to properly worship God. And again, he's shown us that pattern. He's given us that example and those commands on what he expects of us. And a failure to do that is going to result in a failure to have that rest in heaven one of these days. Again, the Sabbath is passed. According to the new law, we are to assemble upon the first day of the week. That's the law, as Nathan said a minute ago. That's the example that we have for today. Again, the reason for this, the reason we need to understand the Sabbath, even though we're not under it, not bound by it, it's because of the error that is taught. We need to have a good understanding to be able to tell right from wrong and to be able to teach that to others. And again, to defend our faith. Again, we very clearly see what the Sabbath day was, when it was to be observed. We see who it was intended for. And we understand that along with the rest of the old law, it's been done away with. And so now we need to understand that as Christians, that under this new covenant, why it is that we assemble upon the first day of the week. We can all clearly agree, just by our presence here this morning, we can agree based upon that we all have the same mindset that we are to assemble upon the first day of the week. Clearly that's something that we all understand. But why? Do we know why we're here? We need to understand why it is, what commandments, what examples were given in Scripture for us to do here. In Revelation 1 and verse 10. John stated, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The term there, the Lord's day, there literally means a day belonging to the Lord. And when you simply look at this verse alone, it gives the idea that there is a certain day that has been set aside. And it's been set aside by God as a special day for Christians. Again, the term the Lord's day. And as we'll see from this study, as we go through this, that this day is the first day of the week. You look at Hebrews chapter 9. We'll look at a couple more verses and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. It says, "For where there is a testament, there also must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." Look at James chapter 1 real quick. James chapter 1, verse 25. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." Again, this is the new law that we're under. This is that more perfect law, that perfect law of liberty, which is bound upon us today. And we understand that it was established by Christ, by the shedding of his blood. And under that new law, it's the first day of the week, as we'll get into next week, that is bound upon us to assemble for worship. Any questions?
Brother, I'd like to read you a verse right here. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more you see the day approaching." Sure. We're supposed to be here every Sunday if we can, but if we can see it or something. But the Lord knows.